Bible, friends, is the Word of God. Word of God written. You'd like to have a copy of, well, an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel. Good place to begin if you don't know the Bible. It gives you an overview of, you know, what the whole thing is about. From beginning to end, person of Jesus Christ, Son of God, who came into the world to save, to rescue sinners. So it's offered to you free of charge and without any cost, any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will, but if you'd like one, then feel free to come and ask for one. Bible, of course, is so vitally important. Can't be saved without it. Forgiven. Come to a knowledge of God's love and kindness without the Bible. Because it's there that God has made the things concerning His Son and the salvation that's to be found in Him in the Bible and in the Bible alone. Don't find it in the Quran. You won't find it in the mutterings of any pope. You won't find it in the musings of meditations of Buddha. Only in the Bible. Only in the Word of God. So it's offered to you. I say you'd like a copy, then gladly give you one freely. The Bible, of course, is the revelation of God. So you find out what God is like, who He is, what He is, and of course what He requires of you and I. And of course the character of God is revealed in the Bible as being utterly and absolutely perfect, holy to the nth degree, as we say. And of course it's that holiness that He demands of His creatures, the ones made in His image, men and women, that is. But the Bible's not just the revelation of God, it's a revelation too of mankind, humankind. It's where you discover the true self. It's where you discover what you are truly like. You know how we do. You know, we look into the mirror on the wall each morning and it tells us the same lie every time. It tells you that you're the fairest of them all. But of course the mirror on the wall only sees the outward image. It only sees the hair, the makeup. Only sees the clothes, you know, the designer gear. But you look into the mirror of God's Word, it penetrates the heart. It reveals the true you, a heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. It reveals the fact, the truth, that none of us are good, though you may profess to be. I ask you, are you going to heaven when you die? Most of you, you say yeah, or you hope so at least anyway. You think so, not too sure, but I ask you, why should God let you into heaven? And you say, well, because I'm a good person. Really? How many lies have you told? No liar shall ever enter my heaven, says God. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? You've already committed adultery in your heart. Jesus says, no one unclean will ever enter my heaven, says God. You ever stolen anything, big or small? It's of no consequence. Friends, no thief shall ever enter God's heaven. So you see, there's, as God's Word says, there's none good. No, not one. None righteous. None who seeks after God. Altogether become unprofitable. Out of the way. Out of God's way, that is. No, There's none good, no, not one. That's God's indictment of the entire human race, the kindest person that you perhaps know. So, you see, the Bible is a revelation of the true state, you see, of humankind, the immoral state of men and women. Because some of you say to me, you throw it in my face, you say, men wrote the Bible. But do you honestly think that if men wrote the Bible, they would describe themselves in those terms as not being good, as being unrighteous, as being vile, as being wicked, as having thoughts that are only and always, ever, constantly evil? That's God's description. That's the Bible's description of humankind. No, I don't think if you wrote it, you would describe yourself that way. But that's how God describes all of us. So, you see, you begin to realize, maybe, perhaps, why it is that you need a Savior. Someone to save you, someone with the ability, someone with the power to deliver you from that state and condition, and to make you right with God, to reconcile you to God. The Bible is written and says, Now is the day of salvation. God's salvation, the door is yet open, whereby men and women can enter in by the grace of God to the kingdom of God, in the way that is of repentance and faith. You see, inexpressible mercy, you see, is still presented to you, declared amongst you, even today, in the wicked, evil generation such as this that we live. Truly, the description, the declaration of Jesus Christ in his day, he said, this is an adulterous generation. How much more this one in which you and I live? So, you see, friends, inexpressible mercy is declared to you. When the gospel is proclaimed to you, declared amongst you, now is the day of salvation. A day yet when men and women can repent, can believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Of course, that's now. That's not necessarily tomorrow, because, well, you've not been given tomorrow. You've only been given today. This might be your last one, who knows? Maybe I'm speaking to someone under the sound of my voice here this afternoon. You don't know it, but this is your last day on planet Earth. Million ways in which God can remove you from the face of this planet if he so wished. The fittest of you, youngest, strongest of you. Friends, where will you spend eternity if you're not right with God? If you haven't made your peace with God? If you haven't obtained the salvation of God through his Son Jesus Christ? Well, your end will not be a good one, I assure you. The inexpressible mercy of God is presented to you today. Now is the day of salvation, a day when you can repent, a day when you can believe, a day when you can get right with God. See, the Bible tells us that all are lost, all are ruined, all are helpless, hopeless sinners. Cross of Jesus Christ, where he shed his blood for sinners, declares that all men are ruined, all men are lost in sin. There's none with the ability to put them right, themselves right with God. I mean, what could you do? What could you offer to God that God would accept as a sacrifice? Your good deeds? Some smatter of religion, perhaps, maybe? Well, God, he says in his word, that your righteousnesses, the very best of your deeds, he says, they're like filthy rags in his sight. You see, here's the problem, friends. We're all of us, every single one of us, nothing but a lump of walking, breathing, talking shit. You've got nothing, absolutely nothing that you could offer to God that would be acceptable to Him, because every word, every action, and every thought that you have is tainted with sin, and therefore unacceptable to God. Your righteousness is no good. It's shot through. You need another righteousness apart from yourself. The righteousness of God that's revealed in the gospel. The giving of God's Son Jesus Christ into the world to live a perfect life, a blameless life, and to die on a cross that you might be washed and made clean, and that through faith in the Son of God you might be reckoned as righteous in God's sight. That's the only way. Now is the day of salvation, says God. Now is the day when you must abandon all hope. You must forsake yourself. You must abandon all help, all hope of ever reconciling yourself to God, making yourself right with God, paying for your own sins, atoning for your own wickednesses. Impossible. Only through trusting in what Jesus Christ Himself has done. His work, not yours. His death, His resurrection. That and that alone. Faith in the work of God's Son and the person of God's Son is what will justify you, make you right with God. But as the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son is declared to you today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not at the end of your life as you would imagine it to be, but now, says God, now is the day of salvation. Now the offer is extended to you, but that offer is limited. When you breathe your last, the offer comes to an end. Now is the day of salvation. The gospel, I say, not religion. The good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, not religion. A person, you see, his name is Jesus, and he is the Son of God, and proved to be the Son of God by the power of his resurrection from the dead. And what did he do? He died. He died on the Roman cross some 2,000 years ago. But he was dying not because he had done wrong, not because he had sinned, not because he had broken God's law. He died in the place of sinners. He died the death that was due to you and I. He died, you see, an atoning death. He was the only one. Thousands of men, you see, died on Roman crosses 2,000 years ago. Sure they did. But only one who was the Son of God, only one who was dying in the place of others, only one who was an appointed and an anointed Savior, Jesus. Not religion, friends. Religion doesn't save you. In all your world religions, Islam, Rome, Buddhism, Confucianism, in every single one of them, there's not one iota of salvation. Nothing but damnation. There is no salvation outside of the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He died, and who did he die for? He died for the ungodly. He died for men and women who are contrary in their nature to God, contrary to God in their practice. Born in sin, conceived in sin, and therefore sinners by practice all the time, every day, every hour, every moment of your existence is a sinful one. And only through my gospel, only through the good news that Christ died for the ungodly, that Christ died for sinners, only through that good news can a person be right with God, saved, enjoy God's salvation. But now is the day, says God, now is the day of God's salvation, not tomorrow, only today. Salvation is offered, and it is bestowed upon sinners freely, offered to you freely, without cost to you, any cost to you. The cost is on God's side, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But this is the condemnation, that you have not believed in the name of God's only Son. God does not have to condemn you. Jesus came, He said, I did not come to condemn, I came to save. He does not have to condemn you. I don't condemn you. I don't have to condemn you. You are already condemned, God says, because you have not believed in the name of God's only Son. Because you love the darkness, you won't come to the light, says God. In love with sin, passionate love affair going with sin. A love affair that must come to an end, that must be repented of, that must be broken. You know how to break off relationships today, don't you? You're experts at it in this generation. You know, you don't even do the marriage anymore. You just do the fornicate. And of course, if you get fed up with one or the other, you break the relationship off and you start a new relationship. You get somebody a bit fresh, maybe a bit younger, you know? Well, in that same fashion, says God, your passionate love affair with sin has to come to an end. You have to break it off. Bible calls it repentance, a change of mind and a change of direction. You repent, you believe the gospel, the good news that Christ died for the ungodly and God saves you. But now, says God, now is the day of salvation. It's only the gospel, you see, that will save you from your love of sin. Here's the problem, you see, friends. Your love affair with sin, you love the stuff, you see. You don't want to let it go. You're passionate about it. You live with it every day, and you live in it every day. Your love for sin, you see, that has to change. But then, your hatred for God, you see, your hatred for holiness, your hatred for what God demands, you see, that has to change too. Why Jesus says in the Bible, you must be born again. Unless a man is born again, Jesus says, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God, never mind enter into it. But here's the thing, friends. No one ever desired God. No one ever desired holiness. No one ever hated their sin. No one ever desired to be rid of their sin until they were born again. So God changed their natures. It's your nature to love sin, you see, because you were born in sin. That's why you love it. That's why you do it. That's why you speak it. That's why you think it. Every thought, only evil, continually, all your days, unless you're born again. Only through my gospel, you see, can a man or woman be reborn, born again from above, born from God's Spirit. See, the heart changed, the stony heart taken out of you and given a heart of flesh, your heart circumcised, you know. So that there's a hatred for sin, a hatred for the things that are contrary to God, a hatred, yes, even for your own sins, your own self, your own sinful self, that is, and a love and a desire for God, to seek God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might. You must, you see, you must be born again. But now is the day of salvation, day when a man or woman can be born again. Man or woman can repent and believe the gospel and be saved from the love of sin, saved from the power of sin. Oh, it has a mighty power, does it not? You hate the effects, I know. You love the sin, but you hate the effects. You hate the misery that it brings upon you. The unwanted children as a result of the fornicating, you know, the effects of the drugs, the effects of the alcohol, the broken marriages, the effects of the immorality, the STDs. You hate the effects of sin, but you still love the sin, you see. It has such a power over you. It holds you in its vice-like grip, you see. You try to break the habits. You try to break the addictions, but you can't, no matter how you try. You run to the chemist, you know, for patches. Maybe that'll do it. A bit of psychobabble, you know. Self-help bookshop, you know, get a book, get your life back in order, on track. Because you know it's not right. You know it's not right. These habits, these addictions that take the life out of you. You know it's not right. It's not how you should be. You know it in your innermost being. That's why you fight and struggle against the addictions that destroy you in body, in soul and mind. But you can't, because sin has the power over you. It's too strong for you. Friends, only one person can break the power, cancel the power of sin in you, and that's Jesus Christ, the mighty Son of God. You cannot overcome one single sin. You cannot overcome your sinful habits. You cannot break the power of sin on your own. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. Nothing at all. Here's the thing, friends. You can't even breathe without Jesus Christ. He holds your next breath in the palm of his hand. Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah. He's Lord of your life, your existence, of this whole world. He keeps it together. He sustains it. He made it. It didn't evolve. It didn't hatch in some primordial sludge. It didn't come out of some magical explosion. God made it, and God made you part of his creation. A man, a woman, made in the image of God, and made to live for God, and to enjoy God, and to glorify God. But you don't do that when you live in the squalor and in the filth of sin. The power of sin lording it over you instead of the rule of God, the kingdom of God. But now is the day of salvation, the day when that power over you can be broken, when you can be loosed, when you can be set free from the slavery of sin. You think slavery came to an end 200 years ago under the influence of Mr. Wilberforce? No, it didn't. Then slavery is still alive and kicking today, because you're all slaves. Slaves to sin. You're born into slavery. You live under your master day by day. Sin cracks the whip and you do what it tells you to do. You can't do any other. You cannot say no to it. Friends, your master's the devil. You're a slave to sin, and only Jesus Christ, only the Son can set you free. But if he sets you free, you'll be free indeed, and free forever. But that's what he came for. He came, he said, to set the captive free. Only he can break the power of sin in your heart and in your life. To save you, now is the day of God's salvation. Day when men and women can enter into God's salvation, be saved from the love of sin, saved from the power of sin, saved from the consequences of sin. It has a consequence in your life now, on this earth. Sin, the Bible says, has its own recompense. It destroys your body. Some of you are already suffering the effects of a sinful lifestyle. Your health is ruined. And maybe your time is short. I don't know. But friends, some of you are destroyed in mind because of sin. your mental health associations. I'm sure that many of them, many of them could be emptied if the sin was dealt, you know, the sin and the patience, you know, was dealt with. If the guilt was removed and the shame and the disgrace of sin, if they knew the forgiveness of God, if they were liberated from their sin, you could empty those places. It's the madness of sin that drives people mad. Friends, sin, the consequences of sin, it breaks you in body, it breaks you in mind, and one day it will destroy your soul everlastingly. The Bible speaks about the wrath of God already being revealed against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in unrighteousness, that is. That wrath of God's already being revealed. You see it all around you, in your world, in your society, the killing and the slaughtering, the hate, the violence, the drugs, everything that comes out of men's mouths. That's the wrath of God. That's what He's given you over to. Giving you over to a debased mind. That's why you nail yourself to things like this evolutionary nonsense. You know it's garbage. You know it's unjustifiable. It's just what you want to believe because you want to stay in your sin. You suppress the truth of the knowledge of God, the God that you know exists just the same as I do. And the God before whom one day you'll stand and give account to, because we're all of us naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You'll stand before God and you won't say, "Oh God, what a surprise, I didn't know you existed." Oh yes, you did. Yes, you did. Death will hurry you. Death will rush you into the presence of a sin-hating and holy God. And if you've not been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I tell you, He will dispense with you. He will dispatch you into the damnation of hell immediately. Friends, you need to be saved from the love of sin. You need to be saved from the power of sin. You need to be saved from the consequences of sin. You need to be saved. And now, says God, is the day of salvation. A day in which the gospel is presented to you, proclaimed to you, offered to you, salvation in the way of repentance and in the way of faith towards the Son of God. You reject it and you continue to reject it. Well, that's your end. The full, final, consummate wrath of God in the damnation of hell. Now, today, friends, now is the day of God's salvation. God grants salvation freely to sinners. The work of His own Holy Spirit. The work of God, a supernatural act of God, you see, more than religion, you see. Religion is about what you do, what men do. Religion is about doing, you know. They tell you what to do and you do it and they're happy with you as long as you're doing it. But you stop doing what they tell you to do in their religion, they no longer want you. But you see, you can't be saved by your own doing. It's God's doing. Religion will not put the life of God into your soul. Religion will not put the love of God into your heart. Only the gospel, only the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, will do that. It brings life. It brings love. It brings liberty. It brings a transformation of heart and soul. Behold, all things become new, a new creation in Christ Jesus, altogether new, a work of God, you see, freely worked by God, by His power, His strength, His doing, not yours. Freely offered and sovereignly bestowed. It is God, you see, God alone who can guide you into the way of peace. Peace that is with God. Man's greatest need in any day and generation. When will the killing, when will the slaughtering come to an end, people say? How can there be peace in your world as long as man is hostile to God? How can there be peace in your society, in your homes, in your hearts as long as you're at war with God? That's an impossibility. In order to know the peace of God, you must first know peace with God. The weapons of your warfare have to be laid down. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself to God. It's not proof that God exists that you need. It's not evidence that God exists that you need. It's a white flag that you need. Raised in surrender to God, in submission to God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. God then, friends, will guide you into the way of peace. Peace with God, that is. And then you'll enjoy the peace of God that the Bible says passes all understanding. But you see, it's given, and it's given to us, and it's given through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, behold, now is the day of salvation. Says God, is God, you see, who imparts the salvation by His grace. Grace and grace alone, you see. Free, sovereign grace, you see. God gives it to whoever He pleases to give it to. And He gives it freely. The grace of God, the Bible tells us, has appeared to all men, bringing salvation, bringing this salvation of which I speak of to you this afternoon. The grace of God is free, you see. You can't work for it, be good for it, religious for it, or anything else. When you have to do something for it, it's no longer grace. Grace is free. It's the gift of God, you see. Only by grace, friends. Grace through faith, through Christ alone. No other way into God's salvation. You a believer, sir? Huh? Good. Nice to hear it. Born again?
No.
Need to be born again, Jesus says. So He says. Why, Abarit? Abarit, sir? All in there. Of course you can, sir, yeah. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Take one of these as well, though, yeah, that kind of explains it shortly. Yeah? It's all from the Bible. Okay, you're welcome, sir. Have a good day, yeah? Aye, thank you. Aye, thank you, and you too. Good year. So, you see, friends, it's... That's kind of like, you know, the way salvation is received. You know, the gentleman just came and received a copy of God's Word. You know, it's so simple, you know, a child can understand, you know. I think maybe a child can probably understand better than you adults. You know, because the older you get, the more cynical, the more hardened, the more unbelieving you become. When Jesus says, you know, unless you become as a child, you know, not in your behavior, you already do that. No, unless you become as a child, you know, a simple childlike trust, stretching out the hand of faith and receiving, you know, the salvation of God. Through grace, you see, grace, and through grace alone. The grace of God that conquers, that overcomes sin, you see. Teaching us, you see, to denounce, to forsake, you know, the worldly passion, the sin, the evils, you know, that has contaminated and ruined our lives, ruined us in body, mind, and soul. the grace of God just here. It's mighty. It's powerful, I tell you. It transforms. You know, you can punish a man, you know, for his wickedness. You can put him in jail. You can punish a woman, you know, for her wickedness. But that doesn't transform a person. That doesn't make them better people. 9 times out of 10, they come out of jail, they come out worse than they went in. Because they've learned new wickedness while they were in prison. But then prison isn't supposed to reform people. It's supposed to be punishment. But God knows, He understands. Punishment doesn't change people for the best. But grace does. The free grace of God does. Because God, you see, in His grace, offers to you what you don't deserve. He offers to you, instead of punishment, instead of eternal damnation, He offers you eternal life, and eternal love, and eternal joy. He offers you the exact opposite to what you deserve. He offers you salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day, you see, when the grace of God could perhaps be imparted to you, and you'd be given to walk in the way of repentance and faith. A change of mind, a change of way, change of direction. God's way, not yours. Grace conquering your sin, transforming you from the inside out, delivering and giving to you an assurance of heaven. Man, close to the end of his life, said to his wife just the other day, a friend of mine, "I don't know where I'm going," he said. But here's the thing, he's not a Christian, he's not a believer, but he knows he's going somewhere. He knows he's going somewhere, and so do you. You know that death is not the end. You might want to believe otherwise, and you might say that you believe otherwise, but you don't. You don't. In heart, in your heart, you know that death is not the end. And the Bible, of course, tells us exactly that it's not the end. Oh, but you see, no one ever came back from the dead to tell us. Yes, they did. Jesus Christ did. And He tells us, it's appointed for men once to die, and after this then comes the judgment. Then you stand before God and you give account. Accountability, friend. Every thought, every careless thought, every word, every action, your very nature born in sin. You give account for it all. God holds you responsible for all your sin. Friends, that's why you need God's salvation. And that's why you need God's salvation now. Now is the day of salvation. You haven't got tomorrow. You haven't got next week. You haven't got next year. You haven't got your old age that you imagine yourselves to maybe have one day. This may be your last day and your last encounter with God. This may be the last time that you hear the offer of the gospel, the proclamation of the good news that would save you from a lost eternity, the judgment and the wrath of God to come. So salvation is proclaimed to you, is offered to you, even this very day. No need for despondency, despair with anyone, the worst and the best of you. Salvation is offered to you today. First recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament are these: repent and believe the gospel, He says. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. So, I command you in like fashion, the words of Jesus Christ Himself. Repent and believe the gospel. Carlisle, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. of the kingdom of God is at hand. You would like a copy of God's word, came home with you. See for yourself that these things are so, is offered to you free of charge, without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. It's the word of God. Ability to make you wise for salvation. Not so much clever, but wise for salvation. Salvation that is to be found in Christ Jesus, the Lord, the one whom I declare to you this afternoon. You would like to have a copy of God's word? You come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy.